So we've established that I think Christmas is all about presents. Is everybody happy with that? Maybe. Okay, who can tell me? Can I have the children back up the front? They seem to have gone off somewhere. Who can tell me where presents came in today's story? Did you hear a story? Did you hear presents in the story? Yes, Ayana?
Jesus is the present.
Jesus is the present. Natalie? Yes.
Yay.
Well done, both of you. There's definitely presents in there. So next question. Getting presents or giving presents? Is Christmas getting presents or giving presents?
Both.
The adults all say giving. You say get. You say both. Why do you say both?
Because you get presents and then you give presents.
Because your family gives you presents and you get them.
Right, the children like getting presents. The adults like giving presents.
Basically.
Oh, they like giving them too. Okay.
You've got a present from them, so you get a present and you're giving presents as well.
Right.
It's both.
I would argue that it is about both.
Yes.
But.
Why is there a big but?
There's a big but, because there's some bad news. Who did the wise men give their presents to?
Jesus.
Jesus. Who didn't they give their presents to?
Each other.
Yeah? Who gave presents to the wise men?
No one.
Are you sure?
Yes.
When I said, where did presents come, Ayana? What was your answer? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Their present was Jesus.
That's it. Their present was Jesus. God gave Jesus.
And then they were giving Jesus.
And then they gave him presents. And over the next few weeks, we'll learn more about the gift of Jesus and what that means for us. But just remember, two types of presents. Yeah? What God gave us wasn't... Well, it was this type of present. And it was that type of present. His present was that present.
Present.
Yeah? God gave us the best present by coming to earth as Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. And the wise men gave their presents to Jesus, not to each other. So when I say Christmas is about presents, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not talking about that pile under your Christmas tree.
No!
Or about the pile that you've put under someone else's Christmas tree. It's not about getting things from each other, or even about giving things to each other. If we're looking at what the Bible means of Christmas, the presents that we give and receive with Jesus. So I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. And the children are going to do an activity down here. So, can one of the adults just go and grab me a couple of chairs out of the back room? Right.
Stickers.
You're going to make a crown for the baby Jesus.
I'm making a crown? Oh, that means I would just leave it gold. Because gold is great. You don't need anything out of it.
Okay. And those of you... two or three, yeah.
Auntie Helen.
Yes, well, he's a tiny baby.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, you're giving them to Jesus, yes.
My compa sticky.
Yes. Right, so you can stick your stickers on to put jewels on your crown. And anyone who wants to do a word search, there's some word searches there. Right. Ella's going to get you some sellotape. Right, so while they do that, there's a message that I want to give the adults today. Who thinks that Christmas in this country is a little bit crazy?
Yes.
Even, or especially among non-Christians. So we need to have a think about how we can celebrate Christmas in a way that's biblical and God-honouring. Guys, can you try and keep it a little bit down? Thank you. Right. Now in the Bible, there are no instructions to how to celebrate Christmas. It only tells us the story of the birth of Christ. And the earliest church didn't celebrate it at all. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't, just that we need to recognise that most of what we do is tradition rather than scripture. And tradition doesn't say, you must do this, you must do this. But we can find some things in the Bible. If we can't find answers in the Bible of how to honour God, then we're in a bit of trouble, aren't we? So let's look at what we do traditionally to celebrate Christmas. We decorate our houses. Yep, who puts decorations up at Christmas? Yeah? I've got nothing against that. But I want to show you a couple of pictures. So can I have the first picture up? So we have a Christmas tree, yeah? And another Christmas tree. Now, which one of those two looks most like... Last picture, though. Which one of those two looks most like that? Was it the messy tree or was it the perfect tree?
Messy.
It was the messy one. The place where Jesus was born wouldn't have had decorations. Yeah, that's it. It was a stable. He was placed in a manger. However badly decorated your house is, it's never going to be worse than Jesus's. One of the videos I've seen for Advent this year talks about how Jesus came into our mess. And that mess can be physical as well as spiritual. Jesus can still be in your Christmas, in your mess. Sometimes even more in the messy living room than in the pristine and perfectly decorated grand hall. So what else do? We cook our special meals and spend time with our family and friends, don't we? Mary and Joseph were probably in a family house rather than an inn. And the Bible repeatedly affirms the goodness of food and eating and friends and family. It would appear to be a scriptural way of celebrating Christmas, and it is. I'm nothing against that at all. Just check with yourselves. Is my time with my family honouring to God? Am I able to share God's love in that situation? By which I don't mean preaching at them, but acting out God's love in that high-pressure Christmas situation where you're stuck with people you never see for such an extended period of time, where old disagreements arise, where resentment kicks in over who does what or who said what, and drink flows a bit too freely and things are getting said and done that have later consequences. If you can't honour God in that situation, perhaps you need to think about it a bit more. And what the Bible does do is to warn us to share our time and our parties, not just with our families or friends or those who will repay the invitation, but to invite those who have no way of paying us back. Jesus mentions having a banquet and inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Today we might think of the elderly, the lonely, the single parents, the family on benefits, the friendless. Who do you know who you could invite in, who you could share your time and your home with this Christmas? The other way that we celebrate Christmas that all the children will tell you about we give and receive presents. And I do think we've missed the point a bit with this, because it's not about each other, it's about God. The days when you only had one set of clothes to last you the year and you got a new one at Christmas are long gone for most of us. We don't need presents. Proverbs says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. But we get ourselves into debt with credit cards and overdrafts to buy presents for each other we don't even need. Our society sees gift giving as a kind of mutual obligation. You buy me a gift, therefore I must buy you one. Usually of the same or similar value. And this is exactly what Jesus was warning against when he talked about the banquet. If we're giving in order to receive, or because we have received, is that really a gift of love? If we're giving because we want to, because it makes us feel good, although we know it will put pressure on the other person to give back, even if they can't afford it, is that a gift of love? If giving presents is a major part of your Christmas tradition and you can't give it up, at least tone it down. Don't violate biblical principles of love for each other or biblical principles of money management by overspending on gifts. So the final way I want to think about, and this is where I'm really going to get in trouble this morning, we give to charity. Who gives to charity at Christmas or gives more to charity at Christmas? Surely that's the most Christian way of celebrating Christmas. We have our collection for India, don't we, here, that we send off at Christmas. Love and care and giving to the poor is absolutely a Bible message. Jesus had great compassion for the poor, and I'm never going to discourage you from giving. Does it honour God? Of course. Is it a way of celebrating Christmas? I'm not so sure, and I'd like to tell you why. I'd suggest that we give at Christmas because we're more aware of hardship at Christmas. It's cold outside while we're warm. There's need while we enjoy our plenty. There's loneliness while we're with family. And these things remind us to give. God loved us and gave us Jesus. And we look around us, especially at this time of year, and love others and give to them. As I said, we should be sharing our Christmas celebrations with these people. Is it the right way of celebrating Christmas? One time of year to care for the poor, to give to the homeless, to bless the charities who help others. Is that keeping the true meaning of Christmas? It's not, because the Christmas message is not about giving to the poor. Jesus' message is about giving to the poor. Not just for 2 weeks, but for 52 weeks. The people who are homeless at Christmas are just as homeless in February. The people who are lonely at Christmas are lonely at New Year. The people who can't afford Christmas dinner probably can't afford Boxing Day dinner either. There's no mention in the Christmas story of any of it being about people giving to the poor. That's what the rest of the Bible is about. So having upset everyone now, how should we celebrate Christmas? And I'd suggest we go back to the point of my message. Christmas is about presents. The characters in the Christmas story did two things. First, they received from God. Then they gave to God. The wise men received the gift of Jesus, the King of Kings, and responded with their own gifts to him. I'm going to have the children back with us now. Sorry if you're not finished, you can finish off later on. Let's have a bit of drama. Jesse, you love drama. Come and be Mary. And Joseph was quite a bit older than Mary, so Polani, can you come up and be Joseph for me? And as we do have a baby in the church, can I borrow Eva? She's a little bit too old to be Jesus, but, you know. The rest of you can be wise men. The Bible doesn't say there were three wise men. It says there were three gifts. So can you put your gifts in the bag? Yeah, your gifts being your crowns for the baby Jesus. Just for now. Just for now. Yes, you can take it home after. Just for now, we're putting it in the bag. You'll have to remember whose is whose. Right. Right. Now, wise men. Carry your bag up there.
Okay.
Up here. No, not up. Right, round the back of the church. You've got a long way to walk. Come on. Come on, a bit of walking, bit of exercise. Right. Now you can bring your gifts to the baby. I'm going to stop you just for a minute while you're on your way.
Yay.
I need... Can I have Linda and Barbara and Marika, please? Just for a minute. Because I've just got a quick question for you.
Okay.
One question, ladies. What do you buy a baby?
Oh, good grief.
What would you bring as a gift to a newborn baby?
An outfit or... something
clothes,
to wear.
Clothes, yeah.
A teddy bear.
Teddy bear?
A nice shawl.
A shawl. Okay, you can go and sit down. Thank you. So we've got clothes, a teddy bear and a shawl. I'd probably bring a pack of nappies. Have you heard the story? The wise women would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby... cleaned the stable, made a casserole and brought practical gifts. It's true. So what was it that these unpractical men brought? Let's have a look at these gifts for a minute. Let's have a look at your gifts.
She's wearing one of them.
Okay. All right, if she wants to get down, she can get down. Right, take out the gifts. Just put them on the floor.
Okay.
Just put them on the floor and you can sort them out after. Okay. Baby Jesus doesn't seem very impressed with the gifts. Okay, Jessie, is there any other gifts in there?
Yes, there is. There's chocolate.
It's not chocolate.
Oh, there's money. Yay. I'm rich.
So what have we got? What have we brought the baby?
Money.
Crowns. And what do you... What is it? Jesus wept.
Jesus,
right. Jesus can go back to his real mum now. So we brought
chocolate.
Baby Jesus
money.
Gold.
Chocolate.
Natalie, quiet.
Chocolate.
We brought baby Jesus gold. It's fair enough, isn't it?
Yep.
Jesus's mum. Do you like your baby getting gifts of gold?
Yeah,
everyone likes babies getting gifts of gold. It's obviously a rather kingly gift, isn't it? A baby born in as a peasant boy in a manger wouldn't have expected to get gifts of gold. Given that they didn't know what they'd find and they first went to Herod in Jerusalem, the wise men probably thought they were going to a newborn king in a palace. I wonder what sort of gift William and Kate's children got given when they were born. Did anyone think to give them nappies? Their gifts were, as the mouse said in the video, three gifts fit for a king. And that's probably all the wise men thought. But like a lot of things in the Bible, they have another meaning. The gold... We remember that Jesus was a king. Yep. The wise men knew right from the start Jesus was a king. They said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Yep. Jesus was a king. Right, do you want to give my next gift?
What?
Right.
What is it?
Go. Tell me. You tell me what it is. Open it up.
I don't know.
Open it up.
Is it a
birthday card?
Mail.
mail. Just mail, right?
Yeah, I
don't want to wear the crown. Just right, open that up, see what it says. What does it say? What? No, on the front.
Your plan documents. What? Three-page funeral plan.
Right.
That's what it says.
Yep. So they bought baby Jesus a prepaid funeral plan. Do you like your baby being given a prepaid funeral plan, Jana? Not so sure about that one. No. But myrrh was a spice that was used to prepare someone for burial. It was Jesus' prepaid funeral plan. What? What sort of a present is that? Let's celebrate the birth of this baby by saying he's going to die. And that's the whole point, isn't it? We sang earlier about how the birth of Jesus is then connected to his death as our Redeemer, our Rescuer, to die so that we could live. What's our last gift? What is it?
There's nothing in there.
Oh. Well, tell me, what was the last gift the wise men gave Jesus?
Gold, frankincense and myrrh.
Right, so what are we missing?
Myrrh.
No, myrrh was the funeral plan.
Frankincense.
What is it?
Frankincense.
Frankincense. It's what they burned in the temple as an offering to God. What would be our modern equivalent of an offering to God? Right. Mary and Joseph can sit down now. Thank you. No, you can't keep all the chocolate. You can share it out. So frankincense, an offering to God. Thank you. What can we offer as a present to God? Never mind the person who has everything.
She's
what can you give to the one who made
She's
everything?
Got a crown.
Okay. Right, sit down for a minute. Guys, sit down for a minute, please. There's only one thing that Jesus wants from you this Christmas. You. You are the best present Jesus could get. And when you live out the true meaning of Christmas, when you receive Jesus and give yourself to him, the rest falls into place. We don't need to worry about the mess we live in. We don't need to worry about what we'll eat or what we'll wear. We have love for our families and grace and forgiveness in our relationships. We don't need to keep up with others in a gift-giving competition. We can give to others knowing that when we feed the hungry or invite the stranger in or visit the sick or clothe the naked, we're giving to Jesus. And that comes when we've given ourselves to him first. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men didn't come to Jesus for a party. They didn't come to meet each other. They didn't bring each other presents. They came to worship God. What can that last wise man take to the manger? The answer is nothing. Come to Jesus with empty hands because all he wants is you. He is king and deserves your obedience. He's a loving redeemer and deserves your thanks. He is God and deserves your worship. He is Jesus and deserves your life. This Christmas, give to God the only thing that matters, and the rest will fall into place. Let's pray. Lord God, you loved us so much that you came to live and die as one of us, and there's nothing that we can give you. We have no gift to offer but empty hands in a weak and feeble vessel of clay. But we give to you what we have, our lives, our hopes and dreams, our fears and failures, knowing that you'll make us an acceptable gift to you. Take us and make us into who you would have us be for your glory. Amen.